Today's passage is from Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet in Babylon. He was part of the community of exiles that were deported from Jerusalem and living in Babylon. Our human history, a lot of history of these kind of forced deportations. One modern example I can think of are ethnic Koreans that were living in the Far East, in Russia, in the 1930s, Stalin, he rounded them all up, put them on trains, and sent them all the way across the continent into Central Asia, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, places like that. And they're dropped off, and they had to start life all over. We call them Koryos Haram. That's a people of Koryo, ancient kingdom. And that, as you can imagine, just you start life over, and it's tiring, it's hard, and it's harsh. It was somewhat like this for the Jews who were deported from Jerusalem and sent to Babylon. Isaiah ministered to these people. He ministered to exiles who were starting over again. He ministered to people who were tired and weary. God gave Isaiah a particular gift that he can do this with. The Lord God has given me a trained tongue that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Isaiah's gift was to give strength to the weary exiles with a word to sustain them, to keep them going. I believe that all of us are given gifts, and all of us are created to do good. We're all given something to help others. I mean, I believe that our ultimate purpose for living here on this earth is so that we can use what God has given us to do good and help those around us, and especially to help those who are weary or tired or going through difficult things in life. Our spiritual journey connects you with the good that God has given to you so you can help others. We all want, I think, to help others. We hope that others will receive what we have to give. We hope that they'll be thankful and appreciative. Because, you know, when you help someone and they receive it well, they're thankful and appreciative, it gives you energy, right? It gives you a sense of purpose and good feeling and wanting to do more. We all want affirmation for what the good that we do. But sometimes that's not always the case. My good intentions are not always received well. Sometimes they're misunderstood, right? People can receive what I do badly. And so instead of the good that I'm trying to do, they see only the bad. I mean, to be honest, we are all a mixture of good and bad. I know I'm not perfect. I try to do good, but sometimes that gets distorted by the bad that is mixed up in me. And that bad in me can taint the good that I want to do. All of this is part of who we are. We are all mixed bags. But people see the bad. They judge you based on the bad. They're eager to point out what is bad and your flaws, and they let you know how bad you are. When others see only the bad, even when you're trying to do good, you start to wonder, what's the point of trying to do good when they're only going to criticize me and take me down? Why should I stick my neck out? And doubt creeps in. This is the dilemma that Isaiah was facing. He spoke the word of God to sustain the weary, but not everyone was receiving it well. He spoke the word of God to sustain them, but many of them rejected his word. The more he spoke, the more they rejected it. And he was tempted to stop listening to God. But that's not what he did. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. He could have closed his ears off to God. He could have stayed quiet and keep the peace, not stir up any reaction. But he did not shut his ear. He did not turn backward. He persisted in listening and in doing good. My friends, what are you living for? Where does your conviction for life come from? Are you driven by just the need to gain the approval and acceptance of others? Or are you driven by your deepest convictions about what is good? Are you living out your convictions and doing your best to do good? Isaiah was convicted by the rightness of what he was doing. That conviction was unshakable. And that conviction came from his deep connection with God. Morning by morning, he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. Every day, he would listen to what God is saying to him, listening for the word that God gave him to speak. By listening, God made clear to Isaiah what he had to do. And with that, Isaiah went and did what he had to do. My friends, when you know what you have to do, and that conviction comes from your deep connection with God, then nothing can shake you. Even if others and everyone else even rejects you, you can stand firm in what you have to do. Many scholars believe that in today's passage, Isaiah, he wasn't actually speaking about himself. He was speaking of a servant. And no one knows exactly who he's talking about. This servant was more of an ideal image of a new humanity. You see, in exile, living in the harsh conditions of deportation, Isaiah saw a new vision for humanity. His experience in exile changed how he saw things. He saw how difficult life was for the weak. He saw how weary the poor would become, struggling every day. He saw the stark contrast between the strong and weak and the rich and poor. Most people in that situation, most of the community, they're just trying to adapt, survive, and even try to become one of the powerful or one of the rich so that they will no longer struggle. But somehow in this situation, God gave Isaiah instead a new vision for humanity, a new vision for how we are supposed to live. A humanity driven by goodness, not by power. This is what Isaiah saw, vision that he saw. The wolf shall live with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with the kid. The calf and the lion will feed together, and the little child shall lead them. The strong and the weak will live peaceably together. This is the new vision for humanity. No more domination by the weak or strong over the weak. No more wars and fighting. Only goodness. The servant embodied this new vision for humanity, a humanity that does not react to hate, a humanity that breaks the cycle of anger and violence, a humanity in which goodness triumphs over evil. This servant would carry on goodness and even absorb the hate of others. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. No vengeance, no hate, no bitterness. Only confidence, only resoluteness, only goodness. He realized that the only way the exiles would really overcome their weakness is not by becoming like their oppressors, but it would be through developing an internal strength from which they live out goodness. That is how they would overcome their weakness, with strength that comes from God to live out goodness. That was salvation for the Jews. That was their calling, to be a light for all peoples by showing a new way of living. This vision Isaiah had, it captured the imagination of the Jewish people. But for 600 years, it remained only in their imagination. For the next 600 years, they struggled. They didn't know what to do with this vision, because over the next 600 years, all these great world powers started to form. Power that they had never seen before. The Persian Empire, then Alexander the Great, and the Macedonian and Greek Empire, and then the Roman Empire. Mighty powers the world had never seen. And what were they to do with this vision? A lion and the lamb? Maybe it was just a naive, utopian ideal. But somehow, 600 years later, in a tiny little corner of Palestine, members of a small little movement started to see their leader in a new light. Followers of Jesus connected the vision of this servant that Isaiah had with the life of Jesus. They connected it, and they began to interpret the life of Jesus through this vision. Just like the servant, Jesus lived out the goodness of God. Just like the servant, somehow the good that Jesus did stirred up a fierce reaction. People opposed him, they despised him, they attacked him. But Jesus did not
react to hate. He did not hide from rejection. He simply did what he had to do. He did good. He absorbed their hate and rejection on the cross. That is what Jesus did. Today is Passion Sunday, the beginning of Passion Week. Passion meaning suffering. The suffering of Jesus was the suffering of being rejected, scorned, despised, hated, and abandoned by everyone, even his closest companions. Jesus suffered, but right to the end, he did what he had to do. And right to the end, he trusted God. And he trusted God's goodness. Jesus' confidence was vindicated, just like the servant's declaration. Hate and evil and power killed Jesus. It seemed to have the victory. But God had something else in mind. God raised Jesus from the dead. Hatred and evil could not overcome goodness. And that is the faith that we live with. That is why we celebrate Easter. Easter is the most important day for us because God's goodness is vindicated. Our faith in God is vindicated. Easter gives us the assurance that we too can live lives of goodness and prevail. Evil and hatred and power might seem to win right now, but it will not win. God's goodness will prevail. My friends, look at your own lives. You've all been through your own challenges. You are still overcoming many obstacles. I get very touched and inspired just listening to all of your stories. But God's goodness, it prevails in your life. That is the other thing I hear when I listen to you. And you are all here today worshiping God because God's goodness prevails. God's goodness has sustained you. It's lifted you up, and it's given you grace. You are all living witnesses to the goodness of God in your life. That is the amazing gift of God's goodness. God's goodness is all around us. And when we come to worship together, we can see that goodness. It's all around you. And it is within you. We are all sinners. We all have evil and bad that lurks in us. But my friends, there is also good that God has created in you. We are all sinners, but God's goodness is greater than our sin. That is good news. Our fight today is the fight for goodness. People turn to power because of fear. And this fear, it makes people very angry and mean. There's so much mean-spiritedness. And that meanness makes people afraid to stick their necks out for good. So we'd rather just forget about that and go with the flow. my friends, we must fight for goodness. We remain on the side of goodness. So don't turn away from good. Fight the good fight of faith. Do good. Every day, listen carefully to what God is saying to you, and then go out and follow that voice. Be confident in God's goodness. God will vindicate you. God's goodness will prevail in your life. Amen.